Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hello, and welcome to the Sonic Cinema Podcast. My name is Brian Scuttle. Thank you for joining me at www.sonic-cinema.com, as well as the Sonic Cinema Podcast YouTube channel. Also, hit me up on patreon.com/sonic-cinema, where you can subscribe at levels from ranging from $1 to $10, and you'll get a lot of great content, access to special things like the mailing list, as well as ability to have a link put on the website, and maybe even writing for Sonic Cinema, as well as some exclusive content. Over the past couple months, I've done my Oscar coverage exclusively for patrons. I've done a discussion on the scores of Terrence Malick films, and as well as a bunch of reviews for short film blocks for the festival that I'm going to be talking about on this episode. That's patreon.com/sonic-cinema. Subscribe today. Speaking of short film blocks, before we get to the festival at hand, provided everything goes as planned and the festival was not canceled, I will be covering the Atlanta Film Festival again this year, and I'm really looking forward to doing so. There are already a handful of announced features from the first wave block that I'm really looking forward to hopefully getting a chance to watch, and I'm looking forward to that. That is April 30th through May 10th this year. Hopefully it will commence, although if they do cancel it because of the coronavirus scare out there, I would completely understand, and any filmmakers who do have short films that are slated to screen, or feature films that are slated to screen, I will still be open to reviewing those on Sonic Cinema. So I'm looking forward to that, and I hope to have a bunch of coverage for you for that in May. Today, though, I am wrapping up coverage of an event that I didn't really know about until a few months ago. It is the Women in Horror Film Festival, and it takes place in February, which is Women in Horror Month. It takes place at the Strand Theater in Marietta, and I first came to learn about it because of the fact that a filmmaker whom I've had on the podcast before, Nicholas Duarte, he had a short film that was announced to be screening at the festival, Old Man Forever, and I'll talk a little bit about that. I've already talked a bit about that, as well as published a review for it. And so that's when I first caught wind of it, and then another filmmaker, whom you will hear on this podcast, Robbie Barnes, had a screenplay that was part of the short screenplay competition, and we're going to talk about that. And she was going to be down, so I was really excited to reach out to the festival and see if they would be interested in me covering it for Sonic Cinema, and they were more than gracious to allow me to do that, and this is going to be the conclusion of that coverage. The thing that I liked so much about this festival and this weekend, it took place from Thursday late afternoon, early evening till Saturday evening, is A, how condensed it is. It was really nice, and the fact that it all takes place at the Strand, with the exception of the after parties every night, which take place at the host hotel for the filmmakers, it's really terrific. Because of how close in and how condensed it is, it gives you an opportunity to commiserate with the filmmakers and just fans who come to the festival and just other members of the press, as well as the organizers of the festival. And that was really great. There's a sense of community there that I didn't really feel about the Atlanta Film Festival. I mean, part of that is because of the fact that it's spread out throughout an 11-day cycle, as well as a few different locations. But that's something that I really liked. It actually reminded me of Dragon Con to a certain extent. And that's something that I really like. And I think it might be something indicative with the fact that it's specific genre as opposed to just a wide-ranging selection of films. And because of the fact that it's horror-specific, because of the fact that there were primarily female filmmakers, although there were some male filmmakers, and I'll talk to one of them on the podcast here, it's all brought together by horror. It's all brought together by this notion of community with regards to specific goals as far as telling types of genre stories about women, for women, and general audiences as well, and created by women. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about this, and that's one of the things I really loved. Two of the people who were there were Amanda Wiss, who was getting a special award, the Lizzie, as they call them, which is a really great-looking award. I love the look of that award. She was receiving a special award on the award ceremony, and Heather Langenkamp, her co-star in A Nightmare on Elm Street, had her directorial debut short film, Washed Away, presented on the first night, and they were there the entire weekend, and they were there talking with filmmakers, with fans, and just everybody who was interested. And that's one of the things I really liked, and I didn't take the chance to talk to them myself, but I really just appreciated just how generous they were of their time towards others. I was there basically just covering the festival. That would be me as a fan wanting to go up there. And yeah, I probably could have, but it was good to just observe them being a part of the community, and a community that really came out of a generation of people who appreciated movies like A Nightmare on Elm Street and horror movies and genre movies that they were a part of. So no Amanda Wiss or Heather Langenkamp for me, but that's quite all right. So we'll talk about the festival in general. First of all, I love the fact that The Strand was the choice. A, because of the fact that it wasn't that far for me to go every day. I could just basically commute to and from the house, and it would be fine. And I love The Strand. I've only been there, I think, one other time, and it was to see a friend of mine whom I've had on the podcast before, Jeffrey Butzer, perform with his band their annual Charlie Brown Christmas special. That was a wonderful performance, and it's such a nice venue. It does remind me a lot of the Plaza down in downtown Atlanta, where I spent most of the Atlanta Film Festival. And I love that old-fashioned theater look. It's such a great, welcoming environment, and you really kind of get the feeling even more so with all of the people who were involved in the festival, whether they were fans, whether they were filmmakers, whether they were the staff working. They all really enjoyed it. One thing I didn't mention in the write-up on the festival was the fact that they had one of their sponsors does virtual reality games, and I took the chance, and it was my first time doing a visual virtual reality game. It was a genre-based game, of course. It was really surreal to do that, and that was the first thing I did at the festival. It's really quite an experience to do that. I'm not sure that I have a propensity towards a little bit of dizziness and a little bit of anxiety, and so that was a bit surreal. But it was a lot of fun to do that, even just for a little bit. The short film blocks started, there are 10 blocks total from Thursday through Saturday, and there were 4 features spread out. There was one on Thursday night, one on Friday night, 2 on Saturday. I wrote a lot about that basic lineup of what I really liked, what I didn't like. Mainly what I really liked as far as the short films. I got to know a lot of filmmakers. I spoke to a lot of filmmakers before and after. You're going to hear some of those interviews here. And it was just really fun to hear them speak and talk about their process as they presented their films. I think my favorite overall short film block was the first one, actually, the Not of This World block, which was the short supernatural films. I wasn't a big fan of the first one, admittedly, in the block, The Last Vacation, but it was mainly because of how short it was. The other ones in the block, which culminated with Heather Langenkamp's short film Washed Away, they were all really terrific and entertaining looks at the supernatural aspects of the genre, and it's something that I really love in horror. It's one of my favorite aspects of horror. I'm not as much into gore and violence, but at the same time, I don't mind it, but one of the things I was pleasantly surprised by was how much other genres, there are so many other different varieties of the genre that came into play. Even though I missed a couple of the short film blocks, the ones that I did see, I really appreciated. One of my favorite short films in that first block, I'd name checked a few of these already, but one of my favorites was In Her Shoes, which is about a young girl who's with her mother at a cemetery, and she sees a pair of shoes and starts to follow the pair of shoes. It is really extremely well directed by Ray Kermani, a Belgian filmmaker, and I had a chance to talk to him on Friday about the film and about his inspirations, and here's that interview for your listening pleasure.
I'm here with Ray Kermati at the Women in Horror Film Festival, and last night he had a short film play called In Her Shoes. I really wanted to talk to him about it. It's really quite a wonderful piece of filmmaking, piece of storytelling and ghost supernatural storytelling. I really loved what you did with the movie. What was the inspiration behind doing that particular story?
Well, actually, this story is more or less a pitch for a screenplay called The Shoe Collector.
Okay.
And we just wanted to make something fresh, something new, mm-hmm. The same thing as we're
yeah.
always familiar with, but only different.
Mm-hmm.
We just, you know, I don't want to reinvent hot water or the wheel. I just want to mm-hmm. make something entertaining. And my co-writer and I, Ines Winters, we came up with an idea like, let's just make something scary with a little pair of cute shoes. Can we do that? Can we succeed? I hope we succeeded in doing that. But that was actually the main idea. With something ordinary, make something mm-hmm. creepy.
I definitely felt like you succeeded quite well in that last night. And I thought it's one of my very favorite short films I've seen of the festival so far. What are some of your inspirations as a filmmaker?
Actually, I'm a huge fan of the French cinema. Okay. Obviously, because I'm from Belgium, so you know, French cinema is very hot, very popular. And in a horror, I mean, John Carpenter is the man for me.
Yeah.
I'm personally like a huge John Carpenter fan, and that's what I try to you see my inspirations. John Carpenter's movies are so based on atmosphere, on the location, and I'm just going to be honest, I'm stealing that. I'm stealing his idea of creating atmosphere and just, you have to have a great location.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know last night when we were talking about it a little bit, we brought up Halloween, we brought up The Thing, where great examples of saying geography, saying atmosphere, like you said, and using music to accentuate that. And I really like the touch that's set at in a cemetery. And it's basically, you know, not to give away too much, but it's basically about a girl who's with her mother at a cemetery and gets distracted by a pair of shoes she sees. And she follows those shoes. And I love that you were able to build suspense and tension and a sense of dread almost just by using a pair of shoes. I mean, of course, you have lighting, you have different elements, her going down into the crypt, that's all those things that play into that, but the shoes are where it starts. And that's one of the things that found so striking about it.
So luckily for us, we use natural light.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily for us, that was the only day in Belgium that didn't rain. and the weather gods were really liking us because it was dry and it was cloudy. So, you know, to diffuse your light, it was a perfect condition to film. And because, you know, it's a zero budget movie.
Yeah.
So we only had one day to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Our little actress, who's a professional model, her mom really actually, who's her manager, she blocked that one day for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we shot everything from morning till the afternoon, because it was we filmed December 2018, so actually 14 months ago.
Okay.
And so, you know, at 5 o'clock p.m. the sun was going down, so we started at 8 o'clock. We only had till 4:30 to shoot it, and luckily everything went.
What inspired you to get into filmmaking?
Well, I live in Belgium, and we're a tiny little country with 11 million inhabitants. We're like sardines living next to each other. There's not enough space, and we Belgians hate horror. And I grew up with drama, and that's I wanted to do something horror. I just didn't want to make cinema in specifically, but I just wanted to write horror or just do horror, and so there we are.
What are some of your favorite horror movies?
My favorite horror movie, you know, some of them. There's so many, but I love Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
The first Halloween because of. The tension.
Yeah.
How John Carpenter succeeds in building that tension. And I also love The Thing, which is my, I think, all-time favorite horror movie. The Thing.
Okay.
The Thing is like the bomb for me.
Yeah.
And Exorcist. Jaws.
Yeah.
Jaws. I think Jaws for me is a horror film.
Oh, yeah. No, it very much is. It's weird because of the fact that it's like, it... Jaws is one of those movies where it's like it's sort of an adventure film, but I've always identified it more as horror in and of itself. And it's funny because of the fact that if you think about the franchise that follows it, it almost follows the same type of franchise blueprint as like Halloween or Friday the 13th or any slasher franchise like that, except it's a shark. So what current horror films are you a fan of? Like more recent ones?
I'm actually a huge James Wan fan.
Okay.
And I'm going to say the ones he directed. Because the ones he produced, I'm less of a fan. Because, you know, the whole Conjuring universe, don't get me wrong, Conjuring 1 and 2 are by far one of the best horror movies ever made.
Yeah.
But if you look at Annabelle and Annabelle, the last one comes home, and the Nun, and The Curse of La Llorona, and now they're making The Crooked Man. That just, for me, doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a fan of the Conjuring movies, and I love Insidious.
And the first Saw.
Mm-hmm.
And did you by chance see Dead Silence or Dead Sentence with Kevin Bacon?
Yes. Yeah.
That is James Wan's.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good in directing movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree as far as the Conjuring universe, where it's like, there are things about Annabelle and the Nun that I like, but ultimately they're more conventional horror movies as opposed to The Conjuring, which feels more akin to something like The Exorcist. It feels like a spiritual cousin to The Exorcist.
It was
in a lot
fucking
ways.
Scary.
Yeah.
It was good to see a scary movie. It's like, wow, this is really scary.
And then, yeah, Insidious is another one that I absolutely love. It's one of my favorites.
And one of them I still, you know, I get goosebumps when I think about it, is the Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the Autopsy of Jane Doe is one of the best horror movies of the last 20 years.
Mm.
It is, like, incredibly, there's so much tension. For me, that's, and the French cinema, of course, Martyrs.
Mm.
From Pascal, not the remake, not the American remake, but the French Martyr.
Mm.
That is like, whoa.
Okay.
If I may suggest anyone a good horror movie of the last 20 years, that would be Martyrs and The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Okay. All right. Is this your first film festival with the film?
This is our 36th selection.
Oh, okay.
And we already had 11 awards.
All right.
And 60 nominations. And it's been out in a film festival since April 2019.
Okay.
And it's going to be in the festival circuit until May 2020. So it's going to be 1 year into the circuit. And then we're going to pull it out and see how it did.
All right. Where are you planning on putting it out? Just on Vimeo or YouTube or...
Well, we already have 5 different distribution companies that show the film.
Okay.
On TV shorts.
All right.
On HOD, on Spamflix, I don't know them all, but we have like 5 distribution companies that screen In Her Shoes. But the ultimate goal would be to make the future. That would be my wet dream. To make this the future film.
So what ideas do you have for the future films after?
Well, last year, the co-writer Ines Swinners and myself, we finished the screenplay.
Okay.
So it's out for 1 year. We've sent it also to film festivals, and it has won 3 awards.
Okay.
And but the idea, everything is already set. So.
All right.
So
excellent.
I would definitely. It would be my dream, my wildest fantasy, to just to be able to do the future.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for this wonderful interview.
And thank you for. I'm grateful I had the chance to watch your film. It's really quite a special film.
If I may say, from a nobody from Belgium, being here, and seeing that. Your movie is being screened in this rat theater in front of an audience and people, if they even like it.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I am so fortunate to be here. I still can't believe it. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, thank you all. You American people are so generous. You've always been generous to our movies,
mm-hmm.
and because of you guys, we're here. Otherwise, we would not even be here today.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of really great short films here. There are a lot of great filmmakers here. I'm so glad that I got a chance to connect with so many of them. And just that's one of the great things about the after party afterwards, being able to talk to them afterwards and just enjoy hearing how they went about the business of making these movies. And there were Q&As behind each presentation, each screening, with the exception of one, the foreign horror, the global terror block, the international films on Friday, where no filmmakers were present. But if you look on the write-up I did, there was a Q&A, and it was basically with filmmakers trying to, filmmakers giving suggestions as to how, as a community, they can build and grow. And that was really nice. I hope you take a chance to check out those few minutes. My favorite short, there were a lot of really great shorts in this festival, and a lot of them came from those Thursday night blocks. My favorite short, though, was from Heather Halstead called Blur. It's about a police photographer who has vision problems, and it causes her a lot of anxiety with regards to her work. And there's also a more sinister aspect to it that we see throughout the film. And one of the things that I love about this is the story that Halstead tells is very much in keeping with tropes and ideas about horror. And it has moments that remind me of the end of Wait Until Dark, the both the stage play, which is the most vivid memory of mine, and as well as the Audrey Hepburn Alan Arkin. If you know the ending of that story, you know that it really leaves an impact. And that's one of the things that really affected me, and I'm glad I had a chance to talk to Heather at the after party about that. If I had one sort of quibble with the festival in general, I love how plentiful the festival was as far as how many shorts and how many films were available. There were 89 total films available, and I ended up seeing 71 of them. I ended up missing a couple blocks, partially because I just need a break, partially because of the fact that it gave me an opportunity to interview some of the filmmakers. And if I had one minor quibble with the festival, is that there's not really a lot of time between the screen blocks. Once you include the Q&A and all of that stuff, that's kind of my thing. I will take all of the short films and all of the Q&As that somebody can give me, but yeah, it was one of those things where it was kind of tough to get time to take a break, to go get some food and stuff like that, without worrying about missing some of the movies that and shorts that were available. If I had one thing to say about it, that's kind of it. Otherwise, I absolutely was a huge fan of the entire weekend. I was really impressed with how well curated the festival was. And that's not to say I enjoyed every film that I saw, which I didn't. There were some films that I really was not a fan of, and there were some films that I really loved. But I loved the wide variety of films that we saw. I loved the different personalities of the films, the different styles of horror, the subgenres of horror, and the different takes on horror that we saw. Nicholas Duarte's film Old Man Forever was a good example of that. You can read my review about it to get more. That was one that was on Friday. Another film that I really loved on Friday was Dark Water. My favorite feature of the festival, although there were a couple that were really good, my favorite was Black Lake. It's a very experimental story, and I've written about this one. I've written the review. I've shared a Q&A with the filmmakers who KXI, who won Best Cinematography. It's a fantastically shot film. The soundtrack is wonderful by Burning Tapes. You can go to Bandcamp and look at that, and it's well worth your time to pick up if you're a fan of soundtracks, especially if you're a fan of electronic soundtracks. This one really left an impact. Hopefully I'll get to watching the movie again in the next couple of days, and I might write more about it or talk more about it on a different review beyond the one that I wrote after the festival. And I got to talk a little bit with KXI, and I've gotten to follow her on social media, and it's really a fantastic film. I'm curious what a larger reaction would be for it, because there are some challenging bits in the film, but it's definitely one that I couldn't stop thinking about, and I wanted to follow all the way through to the end. And that's regardless of whether I like a movie or not, that, and especially if I love a movie, that's one of the best things that a movie can do for me, is to make me feel like I'm following it in a very fascinating and compelling direction. And Black Lake definitely did that. There were a lot of other really great films that day. The social conscience block after Black Lake had some really terrific ones, like Diabla, which I wrote about, and especially Lily, which is basically, it basically looks like an actress auditioning for a role, and you see how gradually the director or casting director wears them down and makes them feel really uncomfortable and anxious, and you see the way that pays off. It's such a wonderful piece of storytelling, the way that that progresses and the way that that plays off of the what we have come to realize the way some people are when it comes to casting actors and roles, and how they behave and how they make actresses uncomfortable. And then to see that change turned on a dime the way it is in this movie is really spectacular. It's one of the more satisfying films out there in the festival. So on Friday night, in addition to talking to Ray, I also talked to Stacey Palmer and her lead actress, Erin Day. They had a short film on Saturday in the Southern Discomfort, the regional films block, called Toothache. And I actually talked to them before I had a chance to watch Toothache, which was at the festival for the first time. And it was a really fun discussion, and here is that for you.
What are your names?
Hi, I'm Stacey Palmer, writer and director of the short film Toothache.
Okay. I'm Erin Day, and I am one of the two lead actresses in the short film Toothache.
Okay, and it has not played yet as of this recording. It plays, what, tomorrow?
It plays tomorrow at 1:15 as part of the Southern Discomfort blocks here in Women in Horror.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't really... So it's kind of a... What exact... In as general terms as you can make, what is the film about?
So the pitch is when Amanda's teeth start to suddenly fall out, she'll soon realize the horrifying reason why.
Okay. What was the inspiration for it?
So first off, I have bad teeth. I just have weak enamel. It's a genetic thing. So I'm very careful about what I eat and what foods I eat. So I was eating tuna fish one day, and which is a nice soft food, and mm-hmm. I heard a crunch. And so I slowly tested each tooth with my tongue, mm-hmm. expecting to hit that nerve, and it didn't. And I was very thankful. And the crunch turned out to be a tuna bowl, tuna bone. Mm. And so that's kind of what gave me the idea was, what if it wasn't a tuna bone?
Were there any challenges in playing your character in the movie?
Yes. It's interesting because I have quite a large phobia of the dentist and anything that has to do with teeth and all that. So for me, I had to really go into a place where I was like, this is not real. This is just fun, and we've got this. And it ended up being just a really good time, and I love the way that it turned out. But, yeah.
As a filmmaker, are you just naturally drawn to horror, or is it just this particular story that drew itself to the genre?
I love horror. It's what I grew up on. And that's what I love about the Women in Horror Film Festival, is that it highlights the female actresses and the stories, because that's what inspired me as a child, like Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. While they were exploitive, they were also the only genre that had kick-ass women at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Ripley and Aliens, but I mean, in the 80s, it was all Rambo and Schwarzenegger and that sort of thing. So for me, the horror was always the genre of, I want to see, you know, I want to see these women kicking ass.
Are there any particular horror filmmakers that are favorites for you?
For me, I mean, yeah, there are, but there's so many that I'm not even going to go into that list.
Okay. What about particular films? Just what films are inspired this particular film?
Well, that's a good question. I don't, you know, it's just, it's a splatter gore film.
Yeah.
It's 5 minutes,
it's,
I think.
It's really cool. Is it like 80s vibe? Is it an 80s, or is it like, it definitely has like a really retro-y kind of cool feel to it.
Yeah, well, I like that 70s, 80s,
yeah,
exploitation.
Yeah, love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because up until this point in the festival, we haven't really seen a whole lot of gore and a whole lot of splatter violent movies in that way. So I'm kind of curious, you know, how many we end up getting. And that is one of the things I do really like about this film festival, and this is my first year being here, is there's not an emphasis of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more character driven, it's more idea driven, and a lot of it is driven by female characters or female filmmakers. And that's one of the things I really love about it. What drew each of you to filmmaking, acting, just in your own lives?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to entertain. I like to tell stories, and I like to make people laugh, and I like to make people just feel something. I've always kind of been that way. So yeah, and I knew as an adult like that I was gonna do, whether it was acting, or I also do set design. I did production design for a film that played today, Solo Punk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I dip into that world a little bit, but. Yeah, it just, like, it was in my heart. It was one of those things that, like, I've always loved, and, yeah, nothing, I guess my heart led me. That's
And you're a great writer.
Hey, thanks. Yeah. So, thank you so much.
How about you? What inspired you to get into filmmaking?
I grew up in a small town in New Jersey called Wharton, and I only mention that because there weren't a lot of children in my neighborhood, but I had 15 miles of woods behind my house. So, like, sun up, sun down during the summer, I was in the woods playing and making up and making believe. Mm-hmm. So, with a lot of my stories, that town is its own character. Mm-hmm. It shows up in different ways, but for me, that was, you know, a pivotal part of growing up.
Is this your first film as a director?
No.
Okay.
I did a bunch of music videos and bunch of short films and stuff.
Okay.
So.
All right. Is this the first festival that Toothache has been at?
No. This is...
Fifth? Yeah.
I think fifth.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
But it's had really great audiences, and everyone seems to be really, really into it, which is very exciting for us.
Yeah.
What projects do you have coming up after this?
I'm actually working with Vanessa, who runs the Women in Horror Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I am an actress in an upcoming short that she's working on.
Okay.
So that's going to be, I think we're filming in March, so
right.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I have
a passion project that I'm working on. It's called Scarecrow's First Halloween. And
okay.
It's more of a... lullaby to the horror Halloween movies that I grew up with. So
okay.
It's going to kind of be a different film for me, but I'm really excited about it.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to watching Toothache tomorrow,
yeah.
And I will definitely be on the lookout for that next film. That sounds really entertaining.
Hopefully it'll be here next year.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So Saturday, I didn't see the first short film block, which was the youth block. I skipped that one. I just kind of wanted to set that one out before the next few blocks and the last two short film or last two feature films played. The Southern Discomfort block actually had an interesting thing where Playtime's Over, which I saw at the Dragon Con Film Festival in September, played, and it was fun to see that one again. It was fun to listen to the filmmakers talk about that. Everybody from the Southern Discomfort block was there to talk about their films, including Charles D. Lazarica, who is best known for his work on behind-the-scenes documentaries for DVDs, and he's done The Alien movies, he's done Blade Runner, and he had a short film that he wrote with his wife called Love Bite, which is about a relationship during the zombie apocalypse, and it's really entertaining short. If you get a chance to watch it, I highly recommend it. There were some other really good ones. Framed was a pretty entertaining one about a teenage couple who's home alone, and the girl sees a framed picture that seems a bit off. And you watch that as it progresses, and it's one of those things where it was just a fun little slow burn short film. Before the film festival, though, I did receive an email from a filmmaker, Alex Austin, who wanted me to check out the film she was a part of called Wretch, which is in the horror block, which was the last short film block of the festival. And so I got a chance to watch that one. It was directed by Keir Seawert. And it's a really fun, quick horror film about a woman going through a transformation and another woman trying to help her through that transformation. It was short, sweet, and really entertaining, and it played well for the audience to start off that last horror block. I had a chance to talk to them after the festival. Neither of them were in town for the festival, and we couldn't really figure out time before the festival to talk, but we had a chance to talk after the festival, and here's that conversation. So I'm here talking with Keir Seawert and Alex Austin. They made the film Wretch, which played at the Women in Horror Film Festival. I got a chance to watch it a couple of days prior to the festival and its Saturday screening, and I'm really glad I had that opportunity. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So for a brief summary for people who have not had a chance to see the film yet, what was the inspiration behind Wretch?
I mean, it's one of those things where I think there's a couple of things. I mean, I think certainly the idea of menstruation sort of was a very sort of like big inspiration point, because it's really fascinating when you sort of like read about what menstruation actually is. You know, it's the shedding of the uterine wall. It sounds so violent, and it's this weird idea that it's this natural thing that occurs within women, and that's just this incredibly intense act. And then the other thing I was reading about lobsters, and lobsters have to shed their shells periodically. And they have like a sort of softer shell underneath, and it's this really intense, violent act for them that they have to basically, it's like this really, really intense experience on their central nervous system. And like, sometimes they don't survive it because it's so intense. And
yeah, because they say lobsters live forever, don't they? But the thing that mostly does them in is that renewal act.
Yeah. They can actually die. Yeah, they die a lot during the shedding of their own shells. Which basically, like, both me and Alex are obsessed with this Instagram page called Nature is Metal. And it's just like, there's so much just crazy, weird shit in nature that's just so fascinating to look at. And it's like, nature is like dark and intense and crazy. And so I think that was a very big inspiration, which is this idea of like a kind of natural cycle, but then applying it to, you know, a human character.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I really love about the weekend at the festival, I know you two were not there, but
yes,
one of the things I really enjoyed about it was seeing how the variety of films and the way they approached subjects when it came to women, when it came to female filmmakers, when it came to female women's topics, and just focusing on women. And this is one of those films that really gets to that versatility. It's not just, you know, I saw almost about 70 films throughout the weekend, and between short films and features, and no two were alike. All of them were very different in their approach.
Cool.
And that's one of the things that I really liked about it. What was it a particular, when did you, one of the things I'm fascinated by is in short film filmmaking is how you decide just how quickly you're going to tell a story. Was this always, and this is a 4-minute short right here, was it always designed to be a very quick and visceral burst of suspense and horror, or were there times where you were probably thinking of maybe going a bit longer with it?
I think for me, I always liked the idea of thinking of the film more like a ride, like kind of like a ghost train, you know. And I think Sam Raimi described, when he was making Drag Me to Hell, he described it as a ghost train. The point is that you get on, and it's kind of about the thrills and the experience, and then the kind of like the big end. And that was kind of like what I wanted. I wanted it to sort of feel like you strapped in, and then it's just 4 intense minutes that you're just sort of going through this like roller coaster. And I was really excited about that idea of just like a visceral experience. And I feel like if you had like a whole bunch of stuff about, I mean, because in my mind, the two characters are sisters, but it's never explicitly stated in the film. I mean, I cast them with the idea that they'd kind of look right as sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never explicitly stated because it's not really the point. The
yeah.
point is very much how you as the audience react to everything going on. And so I think the idea was always to keep it very short and sweet. Like, I wanted it under 5.
Well, what I might be able to add to that as well is that we had the opportunity to shoot over the course of 2 days, and the script's like 3 pages long. So not super long. So one of the things that was really great is we had plenty of time to do all the things we wanted to do, which was, you know, to make it the best it could be. Mm-hmm. One of those things involved, so I produced the film, but I was basically also like first ADing. And I just remember we had this whole scene where the character Rebecca is dragging Sonia down this like dimly lit corridor where these overhead lights like light her up on the way. And then there was a really long like scene in the lift, you know, the big red lift that we have in there. And, you know, we had all of this extra footage, but, and we put it in and it looked really cool, but we were like, this isn't adding to the experience and we actually need to cut it out to just streamline it and make it as efficient as possible, basically. So we could have made it longer and more atmospheric in the sense of like dragging it out a bit, but it just felt like it wasn't, it felt like fat. So we got rid of it.
No, and it plays extremely well just what you have in there. And I mean, I do agree with the idea that it needs to be short and sweet because of the fact that it helps sell the punchline, for lack of a better term, at the end all the better.
I
love that after all of this you just have this moment of release, and it's a big part of what sells this and why it's so effective, because of the fact that you have this moment where you need a release, and that release is just so it does feel completely earned even after all of this that we've seen for the previous couple of minutes.
Good, awesome. Glad you feel that way, because that's definitely the intention. You need that catharsis, don't you?
Well, it was interesting too, because I think it was very hard for people to get what that was going to be tonally in the scripts. Like, I don't think a lot of people got Wretch on a script level.
Right.
And then when we were filming it, it was like really like we had to really keep doing it to make sure we got the exact tone of the final line.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so we had to, cause I think even originally Chloe was sort of saying it in a much more sort of like serious, more foreboding way. And I kept having to sort of be like, no, you got to like make it like, you know, really sort of push the humor of it. Yeah, I don't think
trust us, it'll work. Yeah. It's like, what? You're like, yeah, it'll be fine. Don't worry.
How did you get into filmmaking?
You know, my dad was a huge John Wayne fan, and I grew up watching John Wayne westerns because, you know, my family's from Texas originally. I grew up partially in New Mexico. So, I mean, you know, I saw The Searchers when I was, you know, 11, and it just kind of blew my mind. And so I was just really fascinated by this idea that you could create, you know, these kind of morally ambiguous characters in these dark worlds. And then I think the other kind of big thing for me was around the age of like 13, I saw John Carpenter's The Thing and was just kind of like obsessed with it. Mm. And I think ever since then, there's always been that fascination with me with about both like a morally gray universe, but also this idea of like the true horror being the thing that's physically inside you, not some external thing coming
to
get you.
The paranoia, how humans are the real monsters of the world. I'd say we're both really into horror. And like one of the things that we've talked about before actually is like we've kind of mused about why it's taken us quite so long to actually make a horror short, because that's kind of what we love. And the reason I'm in film really is I'm that classic case of actor turned filmmaker, mostly because Kia converted me. And I actually didn't like horror films until I met Kia 7 years ago, because I thought they were all slasher films. I was like that classic thing of like, oh no, I don't like jump scares and da da da. And then you watch actual good horror and you're like, what? And I know it sounds so basic, right? But it's okay. I'm educated now. but it's funny how much it can change your perspective. And like a lot of my girlfriends are the same way. They're like, oh no, I don't like horror, da da da. And I'm like, you wait, I'm going to convert you. You'll see. Because I just think there's so many things that you can tap into with horror. And I know it was good that you were talking about the films at the festival as well, is because even though we didn't get to go there, unfortunately, because we were working on our next project, we did actually see Stucco that won Best Horror Report on Alta today. So I don't know if you know the platform Watch Alta. It's like a horror short film platform.
Okay.
Interestingly, Wretch is coming out next week on the 18th. So watch out for that. But we watched that. So that was really cool to like kind of weirdly be part of the festival, even though we weren't physically there. And it was nice to, you know, see, you know, an winner as well and be like, oh, that's the film that got that. That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really impressive.
Where can you mentioned Wretch coming out on the 18th. Where can people check out some of your other work?
So that would be our film website, which is hydroholics.com. So Wretch itself is coming out on watchalter.com at 8 a.m. PST on the 18th of March. There's also Kier's website, which is kiersewitt.com.
If you can spell my name correctly, you can find it.
Yeah, you got to pass the test.
You got to want it. But I will say one of the handy things is that there's only one Kier Seward in the world, at least as far as Google is concerned. Mm-hmm. So if you Google Kier Seward, then you will find me.
As long as you don't go Stuart.
Yeah, as long as you don't go
you're
Stuart.
Right. I can, if it helps, I can write you the details as well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time today. It was good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having us.
It's always nice talking to people who are into the same things as we are. So
mm-hmm. This was a really great experience. It's one that I definitely want to continue to support this film festival. I definitely want to continue to go to this film festival as the years go on, as it continues to grow and see how much larger this can expand. I'm curious if it's going to be more of a niche festival, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great niche festival, and it understands the audience. It understands the ways that horror can play with us. It understands the different types of horror. And it gives us a lot of variety to sink our teeth into. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about this film festival. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about this film festival. It was a great opportunity. And I'm glad I took the chance to do it. And it gave me some new filmmakers to keep an eye on over the years and to follow. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Backward Creep by Christopher Moore. And his film was a proof of concept short film about something that he wants to do as a feature. And just as a short, though, it was really entertaining. Emberger with Cleanse, which was from the Supernatural block. It's about a energy healer who has a pretty difficult case on her hand when a couple comes in late at night and one of the women has something otherworldly preying on her. That was a terrific one. The Shadow, which I reviewed, Bridget Barbara's story, film was really terrific. Lone Wolf was a really sweet short film about a girl at a party, and she goes through some changes she is uncomfortable with. Maggie May was a really entertaining one for the Global Terror block. Honor Thy Mother was truly haunting. The short film Return to Sender it's a slick little thriller, not a whole lot going on, but it was an entertaining movie to watch. And there's just so much that I really liked about the film festival, including getting a chance to talk to some of these filmmakers, and I'm looking forward to having further discussions with them in the future. And that includes the final interview that I'm going to present here, which is with Robbie Barnes, who is a filmmaker that I've come to know for the past couple of years on social media. I reviewed her short film Beyond Repair here a couple of years ago, and it played at the Women in Horror Film Festival a couple of years ago. And I was really glad to get a chance to meet her and to just hang out during the after party, talk about some of the films, talk about her work. And I'm going to leave you with that one, because it seems like a fitting way to end this festival discussion of the festival. And I hope you enjoy this discussion. And this is Robbie Barnes. And thank you very much for joining me on the Sonic Cinema podcast. And I will talk to you later.
I'm sitting here with Robbie Barnes at the Women in Horror Film Festival. I've known Robbie for a couple of years online. I reviewed one of her films, Beyond Repair, and this is my first time meeting her. It's good to finally meet you.
It's great to finally meet you.
So what attracted you to filmmaking?
Well, I've been acting since I was a little kid, and my parents used to have a old VHS tape recorder that I'd sneak and play with sometimes and make movies with my friends and edit them together on the old VCRs, which I have no idea how I managed to make that happen. But yeah, like as I got older, I like got into theater, stage productions. From stage productions, moved into doing film and acting for the camera. And from acting with the camera, I got behind the camera because I wanted to make roles for myself, and okay. Ended up loving screenwriting and directing.
All right. Who are some of the filmmakers that you find yourself inspired by?
Number one would definitely be Tim Burton. I love his style. I love how there's always like a fantasy feel to it. Like, he's got a lot of like darker blue colors to his films. They're different... just different fantasy feel, okay. And I really, really enjoy him for that reason.
All right, what are some of the film experiences you had watching films growing up that were sort of formative for you?
Inspirational almost, or
yeah.
I guess, I love movies with strong female characters. Mm-hmm. So one of the first movies I ever fell in love with was The Terminator.
Okay.
And the second one, especially with Sarah Connor being such a badass female. Sigourney Weaver playing Ripley in Aliens. Grew up watching Buffy the Vampire, the TV series, and she's great. So anything that makes a woman very just powerful, you know,
okay.
can handle her own.
What about the horror genre in particular?
Mm-hmm.
What draws you to the horror genre in particular?
It's just fun. I've always loved Halloween, like the fall season in general. I love going to haunted houses. I love special effects, and I love that you get to do all of these things in movies where you get to play with blood. You get to play with like these weird scenarios, and I love the adrenaline rush of being scared. You know, I used to work in haunted houses as well, and you know, like going to them and visiting them, you get that. That fun rush when you get scared, and it's a healthy scare because
yeah.
you're not actually going to die, you know? So that's mm-hmm. what's fun about horror movies, is that you get that same feeling when you watch them.
Are there any particular horror filmmakers that you're a fan of?
Like, that I know in real life, or just in general? Yeah, so many of them. I mean, I've met so many even at the Women in Horror Film Festival itself, especially watching what these other women are capable of doing. I'm definitely a fan of most of their work. As far as Hollywood goes, you know, Wes Craven's great. Tobe Hooper is great. I'm drawing a blank on her name. The chick that made the original Pet Sematary.
Oh.
And she's done a... couple different things. She's been great at that.
And what's
Lambert is her
yeah,
last name.
Mary
is it Mary Lambert? That's
yeah.
it. Yes, Mary Lambert. yeah, I mean, there's just a ton.
Okay. You had a short screenplay that was nominated here for the screenwriting competition.
Yeah.
What was that about?
So that script is titled Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a man who was supposedly around in the 1800s named Edward Mordrake. You may have heard of that name or not. No American Horror Story had a season where they used his character in their show. Edward Mordrake was born with a face on the back of his head. And it couldn't speak, but it could make facial expressions. But it slowly drove him to insanity, and he ended up committing suicide. I thought this was a very intriguing story, so I ended up kind of taking it and using it as my inspiration, where I created a woman who has a face on the back of her head that she hides and keeps a secret from the world. Mm-hmm. And she ends up meeting somebody, falls in love with him, but he doesn't find out about the face on the back of her head until after they're married.
Okay.
And then you basically slowly watch this face, this demonic thing that's on the back of her head, deteriorate their relationship into a point where people might end up dying. So yeah, that's so it's basically a horror romance. It's like the hybrid genre that I would call it.
Okay. Is there a particular subgenre of horror you find yourself gravitating towards more often than not?
I love paranormal, and a lot of my stuff also tends to go the thriller route. So a lot of my horror films in general are horror thrillers. They always just have that element of suspense underneath them where it's not so much in your face. Yeah, that's
okay. Let's see. What were some of your favorite films from the festival?
You know, I think there were so many good ones. Asking for a Friend was one that really stuck out to me. The one with the 80s one with the girls.
What was the name of that one? I know what you're...
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, the rock band. I loved that one. And then I think my overall favorite there was Lily, which mm-hmm. was the in the social horror category, just about the girl in the audition. I just thought it was just so well acted, and that just stood out to me so much that they were able to put a camera just mm-hmm. up on a tripod and have it run as an audition, and watching her go through these emotions throughout like the different chapters of the film. She was just phenomenal. And then the ending itself was just, I mean, people applauded and I applauded, and it was exactly what you wanted to see happen in the scenario.
Yeah, that was definitely...
It was just really, really well written, really well acted.
Yeah, that was definitely my favorite one of the, that was definitely my favorite one of that
Of that genre,
plot.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, like you said, it's basically... You see her continuing on with the audition.
Oh, and, absolutely. And you felt like what she was going through. Like, I felt creeped out. I felt bad for her. Mm-hmm. I felt dirty, you know, like
and it's such a catharsis what happened to
it is. Yet. It really is. As somebody who has been an actor and who does acting, mm-hmm. you know, mostly for myself now, but like when I would go to auditions, like thank God I never had anything creepy like that happen. But you have moments where mm-hmm. there is weird shit that goes on.
Yeah.
So.
Where can people find your work online?
So I have a website. My company is called Perfect Holiday Productions. So if you go to perfectholidayproductions.com, I have a bunch of information listed in there about all my work that's done and upcoming work. And as well, if you go to my YouTube channel, just go to YouTube and search Perfect Holiday Productions, and I have a bunch of videos listed on there as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
It's good to finally meet you.
Absolutely. It's so good to be here with you.
And yeah, I definitely want to talk further in the future as you have more projects.
Absolutely. I would love that.
Okay.
All right, great. Thank you.